His own plan at times, and so we were able to wade through that. I know some of y'all prayed for us, and I praise God for you guys. And so I'm looking forward to a new year. And as we approach the new year, it seems to be natural for us to examine and evaluate last year, right? That's what everybody does. Okay, what did we do good? What did we do bad? You know, some of y'all would probably like to say, well, can we just forget last year? You know, anybody out there? I'm telling you, sometimes you're like, man, this hasn't been that great. Hope 2010 is a lot better. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus can make it better, okay? Because even if things are bad, the year's okay when you got Jesus on your side, amen? Okay, so we go about our daily lives doing things that we think need to be done. We try to be everything to everyone and still leaving a little time for yourself. Does that sound familiar? All this seems to be kind of the natural way to live, right? And one thing that I've learned is that when I begin to live my life naturally, the way that feels right, the way that seems right to me, I really open myself up for a lot of mistakes, a lot of heartache and things like that, because really, my natural man does not do the right thing. Did anybody out there just do the right thing all the time? Okay, I knew I would. There you go. Good job, brother. Thank you. Here, I need to change places with you. but you know, naturally, we're not going to do the right thing, okay? But as a child of God, my main goal in life is to bring glory to my Father with my life and with my desires, right? Okay? That should be our desire, even if our natural self does not allow us to do that. So as we enter in another year of fellowship and service with our God, let us consider the words of Hebrews. And I want y'all to turn over to Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Over towards near Revelation over there. Just keep going towards the back. The Bible gets kind of skinny on the Hebrews. So as we consider, we're going to talk about something else tonight, but I want to start with these scriptures because this is a great scripture for us to begin this year on. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Therefore, since we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, Hebrews 11, I want you guys to promise me that you're going to read Hebrews 11 this week, because Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. We've got all of our heroes in the faith. You've got Abraham, you got Isaac, you got Jacob and Joseph and Moses, all these heroes of the faith. And even one hero of the faith, a prostitute named Rahab, you know, because she was faithful to God. And in verse 32 in Hebrews 11, it says, and what shall I say more? Because there's so many heroes of the faith. Since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, okay? It says, I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised life again. Okay, these are amazing things that God did to some heroes of the faith. He didn't have time to tell us of all the great people who are such a great cloud of witnesses for us. But he also says here that others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. Some were stoned and some were sawed in two. Some were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And this is what God says about them. The world was not worthy of them. See, we got heroes of the faith that everything worked out well for them, and then we got heroes of the faith that everything, from our perspective, didn't work out for them, okay? But it says the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. Verse 39, this is very important for us, okay? These were all commended for their faith, every one of them, okay? Yet none of them received what had been promised. Did y'all get that? All these heroes, none of them received what had been promised. God had planned together better something. God had planned something better for us. I want y'all to get that right there, okay? They did not get rewarded for their faith here on earth, but the reason they didn't is because we are their reward. Amen? Huh? Because God had something better planned for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. Man, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, because we get to be the reason that they get, that they are paid back by God, you know, it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that it so easily entangles us. Okay? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, because we get to be that faith for somebody else. See, there's somebody out there. We do this church for people we don't even know yet. Okay? There's lost people out there. That's why we live this faith. That's why we do this. Okay? And I asked the Holy Spirit to come tonight in my prayer time, and I may just go totally off of what I'm going to do tonight. But I'm going to tell you, I wasn't planning on doing all this, but I'm going to tell you one thing. People need Jesus, and they need us to be real, and they need us to be the people that God has called us to be. Okay? Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross. See, it was a joy for Jesus to go to the cross for you and me. It was a joy. Man, come on, y'all don't even understand that. But we got a God that it was a joy for him to get off and go to the cross for each one of us, okay? And scorning its shame. See, the cross was a shameful thing. Jesus said, I don't care. My people need me. You know, I'm going to go to the cross. Consider him who endured opposition from sinful men, that you may not grow weary and lose heart. So you got to fix your eyes on Jesus, because when you grow weary and you lose heart, I'm going to tell you, the first thing is the problem is you're focusing on you. Okay? You are focusing on yourself. You have taken your eyes off of Jesus. So when we grow weary, and every one of us have, okay, I don't want anybody out there to think, I'm the only one out there that's ever grown weary. Every one of us has grown weary. But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. Amen? All right. Amen? All right, okay. Y'all know I ain't gonna start this year out like that. All right. I got to hear from y'all. You know, I don't want to be up here preaching to myself. I did that all day today, you know. I've already preached this thing to myself a couple of times. Man, this is for y'all. All right? Okay. So, we put our eyes back on Jesus. Back on Jesus. He knows, because he knows what we deal with. He knows our heart, and he's always pursuing us. So tonight in John chapter 21, we're gonna go in a kind of a little different direction. A story in John chapter 21. We're going to look at Peter, okay? And I believe that we'll see tonight that many of us are like Peter. What we know about Peter, a lot of us are. A lot of us are impulsive. A lot of us are high-strung. Some of us are impatient. And I really believe that if Peter was here today, they would diagnose him with ADD, okay? That seems like when everybody can't keep their mind focused on things, they're ADD, okay? They just need G-O-D, all right? They need God, okay, to focus, get something to focus on, okay? There's plenty to focus on there for God. But I believe we're going to get to see about Peter tonight, and we're going to see some things about him that probably are in y'all, that you can probably relate to. But when we get confused and impatient and bored, we always go back to doing what seems natural. Amen? When you creep back in your set, we're going to see Peter, he did that tonight as well. So tonight, my prayer is that we learn from this passage something about ourselves. But I want us to learn more about our amazing God, okay? Because we got an amazing God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for this group of people. Lord, I thank you for this message. Lord, I thank you for your word, God. And I thank you for the heroes of the faith, Lord, that you've already shown us, Lord, some of the things that they've done, Lord, that they did it for us, God. And you did what you did for us, God. And so I pray, God, as we focus on you, Lord, that we'll forget about the things behind, Lord, and we'll continue on in this race, God. And thank you for guys like Peter, Lord, that even though he was a big mess up at times, Lord, you still chose to use him. Lord, we all relate to that. Thank you for using mess up. And so I praise God for you. Lord, I praise God for all these people, God, and I pray that you will be glorified tonight. Amen. So, John chapter 21. We're going to go through this story as a story, I'm just going to read right now. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. And I'm going to stop right there because one thing I want to suggest to you about this thing. It says, Peter says, I'm going out to fish. And I want to suggest to you that Peter has gotten tired of waiting on God. Okay? You say, well, Alan, where do you come up with that? Well, what has happened before here? Jesus has already died. Okay? He's already went to the cross. He's already been resurrected. And over a period of 40 days, he's appeared to the disciples. We'll find out tonight that this was the third time here. He's already appeared to them three times. Okay? But he appeared to the disciples a number of times. Okay. And so even in Acts 1:5, he talks about, he said, do not leave Jerusalem, But stay here and wait for the Holy Spirit. See, because Jesus was telling the disciples, look, y'all are going to need the Holy Spirit for what's going to come to you guys, okay? So stay in Jerusalem, okay? And I was looking at the time, the thing about these, he appeared to the disciples in the room by themselves, and then he appeared to Thomas, and then he appeared to the disciples. All through 40 days, he was appearing to people left and right. And I'm telling you, I don't think that anybody can tell you the timeline between all those. And so I don't know that in Acts, that the timeline where he told them to stay in Jerusalem, and to what we're going to find out here, if that's the case, okay? But what I do know, this is what I do know, is that in John 14, 26, 15, 26 and 27, and 16, 12 through 13, before Jesus was ever crucified, he was telling them that they're going to need the counselor. They're going to need the Holy Spirit. They're going to need God. They're going to need that help. They're going to need they're going to need the comforter. Okay. So that should have been something that should have been normal to them to be thinking about. But one thing I want you to know, the reason I think that Peter is running from Jesus is that in Luke 5, 10 through 11, we're going to look at that story in a little bit, but he said, then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled up the boats from the shore, left everything, and followed him. See, that's the context of another miracle that we're going to see that parallels this one tonight, okay? Their first calling, they were fishermen. Jesus called them. He said, you are no longer to be fishers of men. Okay, so why is that important? A lot of background here. So Peter says, I'm going out to fish. See, Peter had seen the resurrected Lord already, okay? And Jesus said that he was going to come back. And I don't know how long it had took Peter to get impatient. So Peter says, I'm going out to fish. And y'all think, well, what's wrong with going fishing? Peter wasn't going out to fish just for pleasure. Okay, those guys fished for a living. All right, they went back. They were going to go back out to fish. And look at this. Some of the same men that was with him in the first calling of the disciples was with him here. Okay? So when we get caught up and we get tired of waiting on the Lord, we want to go doing something. And we don't want to wait on the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, there's something valuable about waiting on the Lord. Amen? Okay? Because some of us, why is waiting so hard for us, do you think? Man, waiting, because we're not in control. We think, oh God, you're not doing things as fast as we don't wait on God to show up in our situation. We won't wait on God in a lot of areas. We want to go ahead and help God out, okay? And that's what happened here. Peter said, man, I got to be doing something. Well, we learned in experiencing God that doing is not everything, okay? You need to be before you do. He said, he talks about something in experiencing God, says, don't just stand there, do something. God tells us, don't just do something, stand there. Okay? Because waiting is not a bad time. See, waiting is putting it back in God's court. Okay? You're waiting for God to show up. You're waiting for God to speak to you. You're waiting. So waiting should be a good thing. Church, individuals, we're going to find out tonight that this is an individual call to Peter. But I'm going to tell you what, we as a church, we got to realize, we got to learn how to wait. Okay? Because God, he don't care about our schedule. He don't care about our timeline. Okay? God has a plan for us, and we need to wait till we hear from the Holy Spirit before we do anything. Amen? Okay. And it's hard. I'm going to tell you it's hard. And I made more mistakes not waiting than I ever have in my whole life. But I'm going to tell you what, waiting is important. Amen? Okay. And not only did Peter get himself in a bind, he brings other people with him. Because it says, and they said, we'll go with you. See, these are the disciples. See, Peter decided to be disobedient and go fishing, whether he should be there or not, but he went to be a fisherman. He brought all his boys with him. And I'm going to tell you what, your decisions, you as a member of this church, you as a member of a family, you can bring people into your disobedience with you. Okay? And so we've got to be very careful because we can lead lost people astray as well. Okay? We can do that. But because people look up to us as Christians, because we're supposed to have the answers. The Christians are the ones that are supposed to have the answers. And when we do the dumb things, we get lost people doing the same dumb things we do. Okay? We can lead people astray as well. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night, they caught nothing. That's awesome. Anybody ever just done things their own way and it just ain't work out? You're like, God, where were you? You're like, I was right here. You didn't ask me nothing. You know, I didn't tell you to do it. You didn't ask me about doing it. You just did it anyway. And what do you think the results are going to be? Nothing. Okay? They caught nothing. Nothing. See, God, I'm going to tell you what. When you're a child of God and he's got a plan for you, he will mess up your plans if they ain't against him, if they're not for him. Okay? That's his job, to make you be a child of God. Discipline. He's going to discipline you by messing up your plans sometimes. Okay? But I'm going to tell you what, if you, and it's a heart issue there, okay? God knows your heart. Let's go on. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. They're out there fishing. They ain't caught nothing. Somebody standing on the shore, they didn't realize it was Jesus. Man, Jesus probably been trying to show up in some of y'all's life regularly, but you ain't recognizing because you're too busy fishing. You're too busy working. You're too busy doing something. You're too preoccupied. You ain't even looking for Jesus because he's the last thing on your list instead of the first thing on your list, okay, to turn to, all right? So they're out there doing their fishing. I mean, they're busy. And I learned an acronym for busy at one point, and I've shared it a number of times. Busy is being under Satan's yoke. See, when you're busy, Satan got you right where he wants you. And so he's keeping you busy. They didn't even recognize that it was Jesus. Preoccupied. No expectancy at all. And you would think, when Jesus shows up on this situation, that he would say, boys, what in the world are y'all doing here? You know you're not supposed to be fishing. You know I called you to be disciples. And by the way, I told you to stay in Jerusalem. If all that works out, alright? But either way, Jesus says, guys, what are y'all doing? No, that's not what our God says. Okay? Look what he says. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? I could do that a little more sarcastically, like probably Jesus did, you know? Haven't y'all any fish? No, they answered. But what I want to point out to you is that he called out to them friends. Okay? And so many of us have found ourselves in that position, doing something that we probably shouldn't have done, never asked Jesus about. And you know what? Here's the thing that we've been learning all on the Sermon on the Mount. It's not what you do, it's the heart behind what you do it with. Okay? So Jesus knows these guys' hearts. He knows they're a bunch of knuckleheads. He knows that they're just drifting back into their own natural response. But he knows their heart. He knows the disciples. He's been with them. So he calls them friends. See, Jesus isn't mad when we mess up. He just wants us to get right. He don't get mad at us like that. But I'm going to tell you what. If it's a heart issue and your heart is away from him, the Bible says that you're an enemy of God. That's a different story. Okay? Having the right heart is the main concern, and it's in the Sermon on the Mount, and it's everywhere. Having the right heart. Jesus is examining our hearts, not our actions, okay? So let's go on. It says, he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. I'm going to tell you what, there's a pivotal point. We could preach a whole message on them two words right there. He said. Somebody ought to got that one. He said. He said, throw your nets on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. See, that's the difference. That is the difference in everything that we do. We don't want to listen to the Lord. We need to learn how to listen to the Lord, to hear the voice of the Lord, to know that God told me to do that. God said this, okay? And for some of y'all, it's freaky when somebody tells you that God speaks to you. I'm going to tell you what, if God is not speaking to you as a child of God, you have got a spiritual problem. Because the Bible is very clear that my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Okay? So God speaks to his people. And what I find in experiencing God a number of times, when we get to that section, a lot of people say, man, God don't speak to me. Yes, God, if you're a child of God, God speaks to you. There's a variety of different ways that God speaks to us, though, okay? He speaks to us through the Bible, through the Holy Spirit, the Bible, prayer. Circumstances, the church, you know, when you're sitting in a sermon and all of a sudden it looked like everything I say is because you think your wife told on you, you know, that's not your wife, okay? That's God. Okay, that's God. God speaks to you through conviction. God speaks to you through prayer. There's times, man, when you open up the Word of God and you're reading and you open up the Word of God and something just seems to jump out at you, that's God. Okay? You cannot spiritually discern the Bible by yourself. Because the man without the Spirit, the things of the Bible are foolishness to you. Okay? So when you receive, you gotta realize, you gotta recognize, you gotta know, God loves me enough to stop what he's doing and speak to me through his word. And speak to me through circumstances. Okay? And God can use me to tell you something as well. But I acknowledge it 100% that he can do the same for you. To speak back to me, okay? The body of Christ is the most powerful thing and the best tool that we have, okay? So for you to say that God doesn't speak to you, tells me you're either not saved or you're not listening. Because God speaks to his people. And when God speaks, everything changes. It changes everything, okay? Look what happened right here. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find something. And I'm thinking, these are professional fishermen. Surely they threw their net on the right side of the boat all after all night long, right? But then I got to thinking, you know, maybe it's all set up to where all the fishing is done on the left side. I don't know. But one thing I do know here, if God's telling them to do something that they've done over and over and over again on their own power, but then he tells them to do the exact same thing because he told them to, it changes everything, okay? Okay? So God may tell you to do the same thing you've been trying that ain't been working, okay? But because he tells you to do it, it's going to work this time, okay? But then again, it may be something that you've never, ever even considered doing. Throwing on the left side, there might have been a bunch of right-handed fishermen, or left-handed fishermen, I don't know. It might have been weird to them to throw it on the left side, but because he said, they need to throw, they threw it out on the right side. If y'all don't get nothing else tonight, please, please, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. If you're a believer, a child of God, the Holy Spirit is in you, and he speaks to you. And if you don't get nothing else tonight, I want you to hear from God. I don't want you to hear from God. Okay? But he's got some things for you that he don't have for me. God speaks to his people. And when he says it, it makes all the difference in the world. But we need to learn how to listen. I remembered a poem or a song. I don't know if it was an experience with God, but the only part of the lyrics that I even remember is this. It says, to live where I can listen is all he calls me to. You don't have to do a lot of things for God. To live where you can listen is what he calls you to. He wants you to be sensitive. Because if you're sensitive and you hear him, you're obligated to obey him. So the work's going to get done. He just wants you listening to him, okay? Just listen to the word. And that gets to the next point. When they did, look what happened. It's obedience. They were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. See, guys that couldn't catch nothing all night long because God told them to put the fish up. They caught all kinds of fish. Amen? Kind of quiet. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. All of a sudden they recognize him now, huh? As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. So I look at that and think, okay, well, they didn't know him. All of a sudden, they catch a bunch of fish, and they know him. But I'm going to tell you, there's a pivotal thing right here that I believe some of y'all might have forgot. Y'all turn over to Luke chapter 5. This is that first calling I was telling us about earlier where he was calling his first disciples, okay? One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowded around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into the boat that no one, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered him, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Well, that's consistent. Them boys don't catch nothing, huh? And they fishermen, man. But because you say so, amen? But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, there's that obedience again, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to the partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the boat, both boats, so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of the fish they had taken. And so were James, John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partner, some of the same guys, okay? Then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And why is that important to this story? Because all of a sudden, they recognized it in Jesus. See, the Lord will bring you back and make you remember things just to draw you back to himself, okay? And we see Peter here said, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. I'm going to tell you what, Peter had an emotional, crazy experience with Jesus right there. They caught all the, it was his first calling. It must have been the first time he had ever seen that many fish and stuff. Something was special about that, and that's when he decided to follow Jesus. It was his first call. See, some of us need to go all the way back to when we got saved. When we had that first encounter with Jesus, because sometimes we really need to get that back and say, man, no, this is real. When we're out there fishing, when we're not catching nothing and we're not listening to Jesus, all of a sudden, yes, that's him. That's the God I've been looking for all this time, okay? That's Jesus. It's the Lord. Okay? It's the Lord. And your testimony is, and why you believe is such a big deal, because you gotta go back to that sometimes. People, I'm telling you, sometimes you gotta coach yourself up. And no, devil, that's not true. I've accepted Christ right here. Okay? Your testimony. And you gotta realize too, some things that God does in your presence and only God can do. That's the thing in experiencing God too. There's some things that only God can do. Only God can cause people to want to come near to Him. Okay? So when you're at work and you're doing things and you're around and people want to ask you about the Lord, I'm going to tell you what, that's the Lord speaking to you and for you to get involved in what He's doing. Okay? Alright? Don't be so busy and don't be so self-righteous or don't be so proud that you're not going to do that. Okay? Because you're missing an encounter with God. It's the Lord. Okay? It's the Lord. You never know what one encounter with somebody will do for the kingdom of God if God tells you to go talk to somebody. Okay? We're too busy, we're too proud, we're too scared, whatever it is, to even walk up to somebody. If the Spirit of God told you to walk up to a perfect stranger and share the gospel with them, what would you do? You don't have to answer that. Between you and God. Okay? I ain't telling you to do it. God tells you to do it, you better do it. Okay? It's the Lord. And so they recognize it, you know. Assume it's, and here's another part of this story that, you know, I think it's a side deal, but it was put in the Bible, so let's go ahead and figure it out. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. Okay? He'd taken it off. In that culture, when you were to meet somebody, a teacher, or anybody important, or anybody, you would put on your cloak. Okay? And I think these kind of things are put in, they're not just put in there as side notes, I don't think. I think we can learn from that. I think that we can realize that, you know, some of us, we come into this place tonight, just come in. Lord, do it. You know, we ain't prepared to meet the Lord. You know, we came in, you know, He accepts us just as we are. Okay, that's true. But there's times where we got to be serious. Okay, I'm going to tell you what, that's why we have the prayer time before this service. Because we want to be serious about what goes on in here. I don't care who is or isn't here, that's not even the issue. Here's the thing, this thing has been prayed over because it's important what we do here, okay? So for you to leave your house, just jump out of the car with everything on your mind and not prepare for the Lord, I'm going to tell you, I've done it a million times, but I'm going to tell you right now, God wants us to be prepared to meet Him, okay? We need to be those kind of people that are serious about what we're doing here, because otherwise it's going to turn into a go through the motions church that has no power, no effectiveness, no nothing. Okay? We've got to be people of God. Okay? And believe me, guys, I am preaching to me. I am preaching to me because like last time I thought, man, I worry. I still do those kind of things, but Jesus still knows my heart. And every time I worry, He wears me out. Okay? And I hope He's wearing you out as well. It may go long if I don't be willing. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." And I'm sitting there thinking, man, they caught all the fish. They come on shore. Jesus already got fish cooking. Where did He get the fish? Jesus don't need us. he can catch His own fish, all right? And I think it's a pivotal thing that we realize, because I think some of us think that we're God's gift to God, you know? God needs us, you know? God does not need us. But look here what He said. It says, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." But God don't need us, but God wants us. We need God. And we should want God, okay? God don't need us. I want y'all to get that, okay? If this church ain't full, it ain't a big deal to God. And He wants it to be full, okay? But God don't need us. God's gonna get His job done. He can catch His own fish, alright? But He has called every one of us to be fishers of men. We're supposed to be catching some fish, people. Okay? Alright. So Jesus, Simon Peter climbed aboard, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish. Well, this is a man's fish store right here. It was full of large fish. 153. Why in the world do they need to count fish? I don't want to know. I mean, you know, men, they got to let you know how many fish they caught, you know? But even with so many, the net was not torn. See, but I think that's significant because in the first one, they caught so many fish that the net was torn. See, I think we get caught up in thinking, man, God's got to do it just like he did it before. Okay? There was only one burning bush. All right? We learned that. Okay? God does things, speak differently at times. So don't be sitting around expecting God to do it exactly the same way that he did it before. Living Hope, Brian. You know what? You hear me? You hear me? Look, guys, we're called to something specific. We ain't figured it out yet, but we're called to something specific. We got to quit worrying about what these other churches are doing and what they're doing, what they got, what we don't got. Man, we got to forget that, okay? Because we got to listen to God and find out what he wants for us, okay? All right, you got that? We'll make some changes. I don't know if we're gonna make changes. It's gonna be all up to us, okay? All up to y'all, whatever. Yeah. That's next week. We're gonna talk about that next week. All right. Alright. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples when he was raised from the dead. Okay? Jesus did all this. Remember I'm just saying, he came out, he did all this, he showed the disciples, he showed them grace. Alright? He didn't wear them out for being out there. But I'm gonna tell you, we're gonna find out in the next part of this passage. I want to suggest that Jesus did all this for Peter. He did all this for Peter. See, Jesus tonight might be doing all this for you. There may be one person out here that needs to hear this, okay? Because this is a personal thing. We serve a personal God. Some of y'all might be struggling. Not everybody might not be struggling with the same thing. But I always pray every time, whatever silly thing comes out of my mouth, whatever it is, I pray that God uses it to speak to somebody, okay? He's already spoke to me, so I'm just waiting for him to speak to somebody else. Because I don't want to just do this for information, for entertainment and things like that. If people's lives aren't changed, we need to sack it up. Okay? We have got to be people who are serious about what we do. But Jesus was doing this to pursue Peter. And I can just imagine Peter sitting there, you know, enjoying breakfast and things, thinking, I hope we don't get around to the fact that I wasn't supposed to be fishing. You know? Or the fact that, you know, he told me he'd be back. I just didn't trust him, you know. Or what about that old denial thing, man? He knows I denied him 3 times, you know. So I'm sure Peter's got kind of a conviction, the uh-oh, inside the chest, just like some of y'all probably do right now. God can be speaking to us now. I'm going to tell you one thing that God does. And one reason I say that is because in John 18:17-18, at the time when he was in the courtyard in his first denial, okay, he was standing around a fire warming himself when he denied Jesus the first time, okay? And I think God, have any of y'all in y'all lost, because there's songs today that I hear today that reminds me of things I used to do that I shouldn't have been doing. Anybody? Anybody does the kind of thing? That's why we gotta stay away from that kind of stuff, okay? Because it creeps your mind back into sin, okay? But there are things sometimes that remind you of stuff like that, and I really believe that the coals and that fire of fish subconsciously telling Peter. You know, anybody been there? I can't believe I've been there. Look at our God. This is the God that we serve, okay? Gracious God. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? See, Jesus done got Peter off his side. Maybe right in front of him, I don't know. But he's talking to him specifically. He said, yes, Lord. He said, you know that I love you. So Jesus said, feed my lamb. And so he asked him, do you love me more than these? And he could be talking about more than these men. Do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more for us? It'll be our family. Do you love me more than your family? These things, do you love me more than this fishing stuff? Do you love me more than that? Do you love me more than anything? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus says, through it. See my lens. Okay? I'm going to tell you what. We need to be doing the work of God. Feed my lambs. I look at that lamb. There's a lot of baby Christians out there, and Jesus knew that he was going to be gone. They didn't have a shepherd, and they needed somebody. And he said, Peter, you need to love me. I'm still going to use you. You need to feed my lambs, these young babies that are going to get eat up by the world if somebody don't feed them. Okay? I'm going to tell you, church, that's our call too. All right? You love me. You need to feed my lambs. Okay? Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. I can feed a lamb or a sheep by just turning him out into some grass. Gotta find some good grass, but I can feed him by doing that. But to take care of a sheep, I gotta get involved, okay? See, that's the thing, church. We can't just be sitting here throwing our money into that problem. We are supposed to get involved. We are supposed to take care of the sheep, okay? If we love Jesus, we will take care of the sheep. That's us. And I'll tell you what, their sheep is not in his pen yet, the word says. See, we're looking for sheep that are going to be sheep, only he knows, but it's our job to go out there and take care of them, okay? The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things, and you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And Jesus, I believe this is the time where he talks about Jesus reinstating Peter. Peter knew he messed up. Jesus didn't have to tell him, okay? He knew he messed up. But in that last thing, Jesus said, feed my sheep. And I can just see that ringing in Peter's heart that I still want to use you. I know you messed up. I know you're probably going to mess up again. But one thing that we know about Peter at this state, he didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. Okay? We're going to find out later, this same Peter, when he got the power of the Holy Spirit, he began to preach now. People got saved over and over, but the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the difference, okay? That's the difference, is the power of the Holy Spirit. Go on. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and will leave you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Y'all get that? That Peter's going to glorify God even in his death. Okay? But I look at that and I'm thinking, okay, Peter's thinking, wait a minute. You know? Jesus is telling us and Peter as well, it's not going to be easy. Okay? But it doesn't change the fact that he said to him, follow me. Okay? This Christian life, if anybody else told you that this Christian life is easy, they lied to you. Okay? It's hard, okay? And some of you may be like Peter that have to go through all this, and some of us may not have to. But see, that's up to God, and we see that, okay? Just that, and he said, Peter, follow me. Here's the thing. The call had not changed for Peter. God loved Peter as much right then as he did the first time that he called him when he was perfectly obedient, okay? The call didn't change, all right? Follow me. And look at Peter's first response after having that great encounter with the Lord. It's ridiculous, all right? But it's natural. It's what we do. Peter asked Jesus concerning John. John, Lord, what about him? And Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is it to you? That's pretty like, hey, you don't worry about John, okay? You must follow me, okay? You don't worry about what God has for me. You don't worry about them other churches. You don't worry about that. You don't worry about you. We got to fix our eyes on Jesus, okay? The author and the perfecter of our faith, okay? But I think the greatest question that needed to be answered by Peter was that one he asked. Do you love me? Okay? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves too, okay? Do you love me? That's my question I'm asking for everyone out here. Do you love God? Do you love him when hard times? Do you love him in the good times? Do you love him when he asks you to wait? One thing I know for sure is that when you really do love something, you focus on it. You fix your eyes on the things that you love, okay? Whatever it is. So I ask you tonight, I mean, do you love the Lord? Because if you do, some of these things are going to be natural responses, okay? Everything we do should be from loving God and loving people. Amen? So you may be here tonight and say something like, well, that's Peter. That's Peter's calling, you know. He's the one called to feed sheep. But here's one thing I know from God's Word. More than one thing. We've got three of them at least. All right? He told all of us in Matthew 28:19 to go make disciples. Okay? That's you. That's me. And making disciples, see, that's not just teaching Bible study, folks. All right? Disciples in that day, when they were making disciples, they would go get along a teacher, and they would do life with him, and they wanted to be just like that teacher, okay? So that tells me that if we're going to make disciples of anybody, we got to get involved in people's lives, okay? To make disciples. We're all called to do that. You can't get out of that one. Matthew 16:24, we're all called to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow me, okay? We're all called to do that, not just the leaders of the church, not just Christian. Christian. Sorry about that. All right. We're all called to not, because you can't do it otherwise. All right. And if you're trying to play this game where you just want to hold as much as your life as you want, you got this part of your life that you want to hold on to, but you want to just give part of it to Jesus. I'm gonna tell you what, that don't fly. That don't fly. So for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will find it. I'm gonna tell you, anything you're hanging on to ain't worth it. Because when you get rid of it, you find something way better than what you're hanging on to. I promise you. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? What good? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. And he's told us all to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. He called all of us to do that. So my question is, do you love God? I'm gonna tell you, prove it. Okay, just prove it. You don't need to work your way to salvation, but I'm gonna tell you what, your love for God will show. Alright? Some of y'all may be here tonight and be like Peter and got that, you know. I don't know if I'm that much. Some of you may need to backtrack months or even years to get back on track where God wants you to be. And some of you might have already got off the track. Any of y'all know Manister Marshall? Some of y'all know him from Living Hope? Yeah. He told me when dealing with some of the young guys and stuff that that's one of the things he said. He said, when you get off the track, okay, you rocking along pretty good with the Lord. When you get off the track, I don't care how many years, how many days, how many whatever it is, when you decide to get back on the track, you get back on the same spot where you left off. You ain't no further down the road, okay? But running from the Lord don't get you any closer to His will for you. So I'm telling you now, if you're off the track, just go back to where you got off and get started again and let the Lord do it with you, okay? Some of you may be running from what God already told you to do. Ouch, huh? Some of you may be so preoccupied with life that you don't even recognize Jesus' presence in your life. He's an add-on to you, you know? Circumstances got you so clouded you can't even recognize anything that he does. So if you're busy, you're wore out, depressed, I'm gonna tell you what, depression, there's medicine for that, but I'm gonna tell you the greatest medicine is the power of the Holy Spirit lifts you out of depression. Okay? I serve a powerful God. Some of you may not even know that you're on the wrong path. I just ask you to compare your life to the Word. Okay? You think what you got going on, you just compare it to God's Word. And if you line up, go for it. God's Word. And it's like a double-edged sword, you know. It'll cut you coming and going. Just compare your life to the Word. So how are you at waiting? How are you at listening? How are you at obeying? I want you to, tonight, if we get this right personally, corporately, we are going to be a machine. God is going to do things through this church that we can't even imagine, okay? But it starts with each individual getting back on track or getting on track with Jesus. And allowing Him to be God. Allowing Him to speak to you. Allowing Him to tell you what to do if that's what He does. And I leave you tonight with, do you love God? And so tonight, this week, as the praise team comes back, I just want tonight to be a time of just kind of personal renewal, you know? Because it starts with us as individuals. So as they come on to pray, and as they come, if you want to come up and just pray as individuals, just pray right there. I tell you what, we need to be a praying church, okay? Because one thing I learned from reading in the book of Acts is things happen when God's people pray, okay? So I ask the Lord to tonight that we would just have a time of just a personal prayer, okay? Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I thank you for the fact that, Lord,